Well, last summer, a record number of migrant children arrived alone on the southern U.S. border. And those stories were all over the national news.
Out of that breaking news on the humanitarian crisis on our southern
border. A gigantic, unprecedented surge of migrants.
Tonight, just one snapshot of what some are calling
now. And you were down there on the border. What do you say?
It's a double-barreled breach of the southwest border.
That crisis has had a ripple effect here in Seattle. We're one of 20 cities with a foster care program for some of these border kids. But homes for them are in short supply. KUOW's Liz Jones has the story.
Classes just let out at Highline Community College, south of Seattle. Sarah grabs a quick snack in the cafeteria.
What are you studying here?
GED classes to prepare.
Sarah wears her hair in two braids, tucked under a black knit hat. White earbuds hang from her sweatshirt collar. She's friendly, but far from talkative when we first meet.
The elevator right back here.
We head to the campus library and into a small meeting room. Sarah's 20 years old, from Mexico. I ask about her first few days in the U.S.
Because it's too cold.
She describes the immigration holding shelter as La Hielera, or the freezer.
So, no cama, misma comida todo el tiempo.
It was so awful, she says, the same food all the time.
No
burritos, juice, no fruit, no beds, no place to shower. Sarah was 16 when she got caught illegally crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. She was on her own, without a parent. That was in 2012, just as the wave of unaccompanied child migrants, like Sarah, started to swell. Most are young teens from Central America or Mexico. Some come to reunite with parents here. Many are running from poverty, gangs, or violence in their hometowns. Whatever Sarah ran from, she doesn't want to talk about it, or the younger siblings she left behind.
Do you worry about them at all?
Yeah.
This border crisis kicked off fierce and ongoing debate about immigration policy and how to stop this trend. Meanwhile, federal agencies were overwhelmed as the flow of kids jumped from thousands to tens of thousands. Most unaccompanied children are placed with a relative in the U.S. while they wait for an immigration hearing to decide their fate. But Sarah fell into a subset of kids unable to be reunited with a parent. She petitioned for a special visa for minors who were abused, abandoned, or neglected, and a judge granted it. Minors in situations like this are then placed in shelters or foster care.
We've definitely had an increase in the number of children who are being referred to us who are needing placement.
That's Molly Daggett with Lutheran Community Services Northwest. She manages a foster care program that found a home for Sarah near Seattle. The program mirrors the state foster care system, but it's for children who come from refugee camps overseas or who cross the border alone. About 1,700 kids were part of this national foster program last year, including 70 kids placed in Washington. And one thing all these cases have in common is almost zero chance kids and parents will ever be reunited.
True, we have many families for whom they're making an adoptive commitment. And for the children in their care, it feels, you know, no different really than an adoption. And that's our goal, for every child to feel that way.
It often helps to match up foster families and children who share a cultural connection. Lately, because of the border influx, Daggett says they need a lot more parents who speak Spanish and are willing to take in a teenager.
We're scaled up and ready. We could have a much larger program if we had more families.
It's often a race against the clock, since kids must enter foster care by age 18. After that, they're considered adults and can be put in adult detention centers, deported, or released to fend for themselves in the community.
It's a nice home to grow up in.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah and her foster mom hug in the entryway of a big, beautiful house in the suburbs. Two young kids pop away from the TV to say hello. The reserved and quiet Sarah I met on campus becomes playful and relaxed.
What's the dog's name?
Chispita.
Chispita?
Because of Sarah's past, we're not using her real name or her foster mom's. We'll call her Mary. This was her family's first experience with foster care.
We are really excited having one member more in the family. One of my girls, they were like painting, welcome, put in a sign like welcome.
Sarah now calls them mom and dad, brother and sister, and she says for the first time in her life, she's part of a loving family. Recently, Sarah got married and moved out. She's only a few miles away, but Mary's having a tough time letting go.
we've always been together. So it's kind of, he knows that I love her a lot.
Sarah comes over and wraps an arm across her mom's shoulders.
Did you expect this kind of connection?
No, I didn't. I didn't know how you fall in love with other kids. How you, like, just get in love with them. You feel it like it's your kid.
Now that Mary knows, she wants more. She's already opened up Sarah's old bedroom to a new foster daughter. I'm Liz Jones, KUOW News.